Hashtag be the light.
Ooh, that's beautiful.
Welcome to Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast for your dose of dish.
And welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Gay Talk 2.0. This is episode number 30.
Holy shit.
30 episodes.
Yep.
That's a...
30 episodes.
That's 30 weeks.
30 weeks.
30 weeks ago today.
My name is Tom, and I am your host, and I'm here with my good friends, and we'll start with the one over there.
Hey, y'all. It's Nick or Trish.
Yes, queen. And...
good to be with you guys. It's Chris.
And guess what? This is...
The Dish.
Paul Anthony's not here tonight. He's, again, he's been feeling unwell for quite a while.
We diagnosed him last time. What was it?
We did. Shigellitis?
No.
Shigella.
Okay, but it's not shigella. It's something else, and I said it wrong the entire episode last time, but I can't remember what it actually is.
Arugula?
Sure, fine.
It's something. But anyway,
arugula.
We just hope that he gets better
That's
soon.
That's my job.
And, but yeah.
Hello, Frisco.
Hello, Frisco. Hello to the boys of the Idiots Radio.
Oh, my God. I love them. I miss them.
I do. We need to go back down to Jersey and see them.
We do. It was a good time.
No, they need to come see us.
They do Absolutely. Need to, but we need to go to the other competing cheesesteak place. We went to Chip.
What was I calling it?
Well, we went to Pat's.
Oh, my God. We went to Pat's.
Gino's. Gino's?
I don't know what
Gino's.
I was saying.
It was Gino's, but he was calling it Gino's.
I was like, oh, great, Trish. Great.
She's
so
not
listen,
allowed
there's,
out.
There's so much to cover on the dish.
We
there's
had a
so
busy
much,
week.
We did. We
Been
had so much going on. Later on in this episode, we have two special guests, ladies and gentlemen, with us in the studio. We have Luis Antonio, which is the creator of Escapade, An Unusual Experience. Ladies and gentlemen, say hello.
Hey, guys. What's up? How are you?
Oh, talking to that mic girl. Say
hey,
hello.
What's up? How are you?
There you go.
Is that better?
Hit on that mic.
So,
like it was
this actually isn't
night.
The first time that his voice is heard on the show.
It.
No, actually, he was actually on our live episode
live
as well.
Episode. Time, yes.
You yelled,
yes,
you're a skinny
this,
bitch.
Uh-huh.
Come on up here.
Yes.
And
you can run, bitch. You skinny.
Yep. Uh-huh.
So welcome back. Welcome
Thank
back.
Thank you for having me,
guys. So we're going to have a lot of information for you as far as what the show is all about on our second segment of the show. And also we have Tony Marrero calling in. If you guys don't know who he is, I hope you do. He is one of the survivors from the Pulse shootings. And he was so gracious to accept to call us. And we're so looking forward to having that conversation later on in the other half of the show. So let's get into the dish. Ladies, there's so much going on, ladies and gentlemen, in New York, New Jersey. Bombs everywhere.
Minnesota.
It's insane. It's like, you know, it's still an active developing story, but investigators say that a lot of explosives similar to those used in the Boston Marathon, one of them was detonated in Chelsea, in a Chelsea neighborhood in New York City. Another one was found blocks away. That one was actually detonated in a controlled environment because they caught it in time. And then there were numerous injuries reported, but no loss of life in the incident that happened in New York City. That was amazing.
Yeah, there was two pressure cooker bombs located in Chelsea, one that was detonated in a dumpster. 29 people now were injured. None life-threatening.
Which was
incredible.
Absolutely great news.
It's so great when these criminals don't think it through all the way.
Well, the reason why this particular bomb that blew up in Chelsea didn't do that much damage is because they put it under a dumpster.
No, it was in the dumpster.
Or inside.
But there's a reason why they put it in the dumpster, and I understand that. Because when someone walks by a dumpster and throws something into a dumpster, no one bats an eye to it.
No.
But thank God that he threw it in a dumpster, this metal dumpster, because it held some of the percussions back.
Yes.
And that's what saved
it
lives.
It could have been worse.
Well, that's how they connected all of them.
It didn't just like completely blow
it
open.
It did.
Oh.
And that's unfortunately, people, bystanders walking by were struck with shrapnel from the dumpster. But unfortunately, with these IEDs and these pressure cooker bombs, people go for the like total effect, so they fill them with shit, and you're getting hit with like bolts and
BB gun.
What the
like
fuck
BB
is wrong
BB
with
bullets
people?
And all that.
I heard this story this weekend about this kid that got a little too drunk at this bar and drove home and stole somebody's Trump signs and started jumping all over them and threw them in the trash. Did you hear about that?
I did not hear about that. But
these people
I have
are so fucked up. Oh, wait.
I have a feeling we're strong.
Oh, wait. That was me. Whoops.
I couldn't.
Trish.
I didn't think we were going to talk about it. What if he's like one of those closet
I don't
case?
Give a flying fuck.
We're leaving.
Are you serious,
Trump? I'll take the fine. Fuck it. Trump, go sit a dick. I'm done with you. Goodbye.
Saturday night. Trish and I were hanging out with a friend of mine.
I can't.
We're leaving the local bar. It's like right around the corner from my apartment. And we're driving by. And I pointed out to the house that had Donald Trump sign, Mike Pence, Make America Great Again. He had three signs on his yard. And pulled over to the shoulders like, no, fuck this. And he runs out of the car. Thank God it's not my car because I work near there. And grabs all three of the signs. Runs back into the car. We fly out, get into my complex. We throw them on the ground. We're jumping on them like, fuck you, Pence. Fuck you, Trump.
I have neighbors.
Oh, well,
yes. So that happened.
Hello, Frisco.
But I have been saying for so long that I'm going to one day pull over and pull the signs out of the ground because it just makes me livid to see them. I'm like, he is not presidential. He cannot be our president.
Bucket list. You did it.
You did it.
So listen, I'm proud of you, Trish. I'm really proud of you. That one of the many times that I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you a lot because you do a lot of crazy shit.
It was.
So listen.
I still have the little flags.
Chris was like, Nick, no. I was like, fuck you.
He had two American flags hanging.
We have to go back to this bomb story. I mean, this is great.
It was a perfect segue.
How did we get to that?
Because let's talk about how people are crazy.
The bombings in New Jersey, New York.
There was a third bomb detonated Saturday morning ahead of a charity run in Seaside Park, New Jersey. Mm-hmm. There were no injuries reported there. And then, of course, if it couldn't get any worse, there was a bag full of pipe bombs that was found in Elizabeth, New Jersey, and they were all detonated in a controlled environment. And authorities have a suspect, which they named Ahmad Khan Rahami. He was named as a suspect.
They don't roll their R's.
Rahami.
Balance.
I tried. Yeah. Anyway, he is considered to be armed and dangerous. And of course, we have breaking news. Since I got my information and I jotted it down, he has been apprehended.
Yeah,
he was actually caught in custody. Yep.
There was a shootout.
And there was a shootout.
Linden, I believe
in
it was.
Linden, New Jersey.
Yeah, Linden, New Jersey. And they're looking over the different devices that they found, some of them being pipe bombs. Fortunately, the one in New Jersey, no one was even close to the garbage can. Thankfully, so many people signed up for this Marine. Yeah, bye-bye.
Bye.
It was a Marine fundraiser, run, and so many people had signed up for it that the start of the race was delayed. So three pipe bombs that were placed, out of three of them, only one was detonated, used by a cell phone, and no one was even near there, but they are seeing connections with all the three.
Because of all the ingredients that were used to create them.
And not even so much that. It's more looking to the cell phones. That's one of the things when you look at bomb making, you look toward the detonators. And that's what they're all coming back to, those cell phones. And they got a print and they found this man sleeping outside of a bar. CNN, I love you. And the bar owner, one of the bar owners or bartenders, because they did say both, that's the only thing, was watching CNN, saw the picture of the guy walking by, looked out the door and said, that looks like the dude sleeping in our bar doorway. Called the police and shootout occurred. He got shot in the shoulder, right shoulder, and we got him.
Good. I'm very happy.
So there's got to be more than one person involved.
Yes.
There's got to be numerous people involved. But at this point, we've got the main suspect, which is great because it doesn't always end this way. And we have to think about that. This happened
2 days
in American soil.
Right.
And that they're testing us. And they're going, I mean, you have incidents happening in Minnesota. You have incidents happening in New Jersey and New York. And what else? I mean, they're testing us.
Mm-hmm. He was an Afghan.
At this point.
Yeah, he's an American citizen, Afghan native, or a naturalized American citizen. He is an Afghan native. And he had been frequently going back to Afghanistan, and
he had to be on somebody's report.
He was there. The radars were up there. That's the unfortunate thing, and that's where the two candidates are fighting
stuff,
over.
You know, and what I am ecstatic about is that there was no loss of life. And
right.
For those of you that were injured, you know, we are with you.
Gay Talk is with you,
absolutely. And we're saddened that this, you know, happened. It's never a good thing when, you know, you're walking down the road or the sidewalk and something like this happens. But you know, we're with you. But I'm just so happy that there was no loss of life, because you know what? We're not going to let these people win.
No, and that's what President Obama calls for. He said, do not let them instill fear on you. It's unfortunate that these attempts happen, but no, we will not back down.
Good.
Good. Hell no. I mean, what do you want me to say? I've been saying it the whole time.
Well, Nick doesn't back down, but he does back up.
Girl, you don't know my life.
I do. You don't even go here.
Yes, I do. Yeah. I want my pink shirt back.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of life. I think we covered the bombing stuff, right? We're good.
We did. We're done. Yeah, I just needed to make sure that people knew that there was not only two, there was like five of them.
Yeah, exactly. Done.
The hell with him.
Could you all say Gute Reise?
Gute Reise?
Bon That's voyage.
You're going to...
I'm going back.
Oh, he's going to Germany, ladies and gentlemen. Chris is leaving us for a whole 6 weeks.
I booked it. I was approved, but I paid for it today. It's
you know what
happening.
I have to say about that?
What?
Bye, Felicia.
Bye.
Coming from...
Well, you're not going to be able to play with his dick while he's sitting next to you.
Well, so I don't really do that.
Speaking of dick. This bitch... was fucking sexting not a second longer ago.
Yeah,
I saw that. And let me tell you.
What?
That one puts the D in PhD.
Yes, queen.
Somebody's got to move up the ladder somehow.
Hello. You want to be that wife?
It was nice. Well, I don't want to be that wife. It was in the underwear, but it was nice.
Oh, good.
That's what I was talking about outside.
I'm happy. I'm happy for you.
But okay, yeah, I'm going to Germany.
Can we talk about Chris's like gym shorts?
I am dressed like a bum today.
Yeah, I am.
But we love it when you wear gym shorts.
Yeah.
I went to...
Jerry. He doesn't have his...
When he wears gym shorts, have you ever seen that thing where you start the ball and then it hits the other ball and then they don't stop and they just go back and forth and the balls keep bouncing?
The Newton.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah, the Newton.
Yeah. So Chris wears gym shorts, and I just think of that, minus the fact that I actually know what's swinging in there.
Enough.
I went to the gym today, and I did not shower after, so those are probably smelling nice right now.
That's why I'm so turned on right now.
So listen, in other news, I'd like to take a moment. It was supposed to happen last week, and we didn't have...
I'd like to take a moment and sit right... What is it? Damn it, I'm screwing it up. Sit right there. I'll tell you how it became... Prince of a town called Bel Air. I found $5. I found $5.
And I took it from you.
Fuck. Diabetes.
But
listen,
we don't mock diabetes.
I need to take a moment and because it was supposed to happen last week, but we had so much going on that we didn't have an opportunity to talk about it. And I would like to give a big shout out and pay homage to one of Savannah's biggest drag legends, Lady Chablis, who died at age 59 last week. She was one of the biggest stars at Club One in Savannah, Georgia. I got the opportunity to actually visit Savannah, and I had a very, very, very good time. She made such an impact in the community. I mean, she's been doing what she did for well over 30 years. You know, Chablis was always wanted to give the audience the utmost perfect performance. She wanted to give 15,000% of herself when she went on stage. So, you know, that's what she did. And she had the opportunity to star in Midnight in the Garden of Evil, which was directed by Clint Eastwood. And she has been quoted to tell him personally that if, because he based this character on her personality in this bar, she literally said to him, if I can't play this character, nobody will. And she got the part and she played it.
Wow.
30 years ago, ballsy. She deserves an homage from Gay Talk 2.0, and I just wanted to throw that out there into the universe. So,
claps.
Absolutely. To Lady Chablis, the Lady Chablis. May you rest in peace, sweetheart. And that's all. Next!
I got something. I want to shame motherfucking people.
Oh, who are you going to shame, girl?
Okay, so, well, last week I wanted to talk about this, but I didn't get to talk about it. So, right, North Haven is a town north of New Haven.
Oh my God, you're so smart.
I know things.
Geography and stuff.
You must have been the brightest in your class.
But I'm ready to jump on this one once you're done.
Okay. So there was a sign. So there's a Chick-fil-A going up in North Haven, and there was a
which
sign.
Which everyone knows is very anti-gay.
Well, actually, they changed their tune, and they've been donating to gay causes. That company itself has changed their tune.
Tone.
It was one of their like big head honchos that was really causing all that ruckus.
Right. So I'm not going to slam Chick-fil-A right now. What I'm going to slam is this.
Yes, we are.
This is clearly not Chick-fil-A that made this. This is a private citizen that made the sign and put it up.
Right.
But
it's Photoshop.
The fact that a private citizen made the sign and put it up pisses me off enough. especially because you live in fucking Connecticut. You're in New England. If you don't like the gays, move the fuck out of New England. Go somewhere else. Go to Alabama.
I was just about to say go to Alabama, somewhere else. Mississippi.
I don't give a fuck, but get the Russia, fuck out of New England. M-I-S-S-I-S-S-I-B-I. Anyway, so there was a sign that was put up, and it was like North Haven, Chick-fil-A, grand opening, September 8th, 2016. And then underneath that, it said, gay homosexuals / crossdressers, not welcome. You will be removed.
Here's the thing, though. I want to see one of these straight ass motherfuckers
try to remove a drag queen.
Try to remove a drag queen a transsexual from one of those places.
Those are the fiercest ones.
I know a couple. I know one of them that is a crossdresser. Right, amazing, beautiful person. The bitch is a firefighter. Mm-hmm. Try removing her.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, no, fuck no. We have one. I have one that's comes into York Street where you guys, you know, our listeners know I work now. She was in the 82nd Airborne. You want to try to remove a fucking airman? Like,
do you
want to
see heels fly off and somebody whoop your ass?
No, heels fly off into the eyes.
Yeah,
they'll
pretty
go
much.
With
they'll stab
shit.
You with a
them
heel.
Them bitches
trust
are
me.
Crazy.
But
I love
that
them.
They say
I love them.
Gay homosexuals. Them. Like, yeah. I didn't know they made other kinds of homosexuals. I was like, come on.
I love when
I love when ignorant people are stupid.
Nick and I actually work for the other bar, which is Partners Cafe, and you're located at 365.
You can find gay homosexuals at Partners Cafe.
Yeah. Tons of them.
All of them.
A lot of them.
Actually, the gayest one.
But no, but what I was trying to get at is that we hold a Diva Social every month, and we have a whole bunch of, you know, cross-dressers, transsexuals, transgendered women, men and women, that come to the bar and hang out. And let me tell you, they're the best group of people that you would ever meet. And they jump from bar to bar. They also go to 168 York Street Cafe.
They usually come and have dinner before. Mm-hmm. But let me tell you, no borders stops this meeting that they have. They have had I work at York Street, again, saying that, repeating myself. And one night I had people from Maine. Mm-hmm. I had a woman that came from Minnesota.
Yes. They travel.
They travel. Come for this. Yeah. Yes.
Well, you gotta understand.
Any people in the surrounding states?
They're a family. Yeah.
They're a huge family.
Yes.
And let me tell you, there's people that come out because people in their town don't know that they do this. And, you know, some of them are married, and with the blessing of their wife, they come out and they congregate with their fellow sisters, and they have such a beautiful time. Let me tell you, I have so much fun when I'm with them in the bar and I'm behind that bar. They treat you so well, and mm-hmm. they're just so amazing to be around. So to my sisters in dresses, to my brothers in dresses, we love you.
Yes.
Yes, we love you.
Yes,
absolutely.
Yes, yes.
I wish I could pull off a dress.
Girl, you could. I got a picture to prove it.
I got to get Spanx first.
That's got to go on the website.
I got to get Spanx. But let me tell you, I have to plug one thing.
Do it, girl. Do it.
Okay, so Partners, where we work, I work on Thursdays.
Uh-huh. I work on Saturdays.
And we have all of our college kids back in town, and we are doing a party this Thursday that I'm going to plug. Ooh. So summer's over. Back to the grind. Belvedere's hosting a party at Partners.
Ooh, I'm coming.
Yes.
I'm coming.
And we'll have somebody there that'll be doing free tastings.
Tasting.
They'll probably be testing too, but that's a different kind of thing.
Was like 3 weeks ago.
Yeah. We'll be testing the vodka. That's what we'll be doing.
But Belvedere will be making cocktails for everybody, and we're going to have a blast. We do have Dollar Miller High Lifes on Thursday. It's going to be a good time, so you should come out Thursday.
Yeah, Thursdays at Partners Cafe, which is located at 365 Crown Street in New Haven, Connecticut, 06511. www.partnerscafe.com if you want more information on their website.
Yeah.
Very much. Y'all were looking at me like I fucked it up. I'm like, did I fuck it up? I'm like, no, I didn't fuck it up.
LGBTFQ.
Yeah.
So
right.
Listen.
And for those of you that are looking to go and see me while I'm working, maybe not on that night. Well, you can always go there, but I work at 168 York Street Cafe, located
at 168 York Street. It's the name of the bar and the address.
06511.
Yeah, I love, listen, both bars are amazing. We have a great group of people that work in both bars. They're so inviting, and we've been part of the gay community for such a long time that, you know what? We know what we do.
Speaking of which, we have a bartender, so you can serve liquor at 18 in Connecticut.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
You can't drink it until you're 21. But we've had a bartender that started with us this year, and he was 20 when he started with us, and he turned 21 today. So I can't wait to see how much of a mess she is in a little bit.
Oh, Lord have mercy. She's officially legal to drink.
She's official.
Yes, queen. Yes. So listen, the Dick Doc officially got a drive-thru.
Wait, what?
For those of you who don't know what the TikTok is, Provincetown, Massachusetts, go to P-Town, and the TikTok is actually the bottom or the bottom part of the boat slip resort, the actual...
underneath their deck.
Big deck. And so people go down there and they have a little fun, you know, of the sexual kind. So anyway, these two out-of-towners from Canada decided to go visit P-Town, and they thought that that was a little regular old street and that they would be able to drive all the way down and take a right or left and end up at McMillan's Wharf, and literally drove their car all the way down the stairs and into the water.
What?
Stop it. How's that even possible?
Oh, it happened. So,
what?
So the joke's in
Canadians.
Yeah. So
they don't give a fuck.
So they just literally, because you know, for those men who have walked down, yes.
Is that even big enough? Like,
it is to drive up to a certain point, but once you get to the stairs, it's like
water.
You stop at the stairs.
There's stairs. And then, like, 10 feet from you, if the tie is high, you got water.
Yeah.
So, for those of us who have had experience, you know, being down there.
I never went down there. I was only up on the deck.
So, anyway. We'll talk about that later.
She was only up on the deck.
So, you know, they decided to drive down thinking that they would be able to take that left into McMillan's Wharf, and boy, were they in for the surprise. So anyway, the TikTok is shut down for the time being. And, you know, just in time for Labor Day weekend, because I think this happened a little bit after Labor Day.
I was there that weekend.
You're not missing much. No, this happened recently after Labor Day. Because it happened after Labor Day and the season is now shutting down and it's winding down, you're not missing much. But that didn't stop people from immediately dumping jokes out onto the internet. So, of course, you know, AAA needs to take the TikTok off of their sightseeing Cape Cod map. So the people don't drive down and end up being in it, and then there was another joke that said, probably put where's the dock, dick, in their GPS. Okay. There's obviously a drive-through now.
That's why you're saying.
It's pretty wide. It's a pretty wide staircase. Not that I have ever been down there. No friendly guys around that time of the night to give them a hand. ?
Ew.
Well, I hope somebody got them out of the car once they hit the water.
Well, the good thing was that it was low tide, so when they did get down the stairs, they ended up getting stuck right by the sand in the stairs.
I don't get it. Like, who drives a car?
Canadians.
Like, were they just like, were they driving too fast?
Like, they mean the water in front of you? Like, boats? There's boats there.
There are stairs. Cars don't go downstairs. Like, that's just a thing.
Canadians make anything possible.
But they didn't make it possible.
Maybe they had a boat car.
Well, they tried. They attempted. Canadians attempt to make anything possible. And I'll be one of you one day. Bernie Fingers coming out again.
Well, this car definitely did it. It definitely went down with the ship. So, yeah.
I mean, I guess since we're on that, you know, topic. Meanwhile, in Canada, this is one that I never knew.
Does it involve Justin?
No. But we love you, Mr. Trudeau. We love you.
We do.
I want to say I did know that it's inappropriate.
Why? He's not my prime minister.
Prime Minister.
And he'll be mine royalty.
One day. He'll be mine one day.
She got voted in.
I did know this. The U.S.-Canadian border is the longest border in the world. It stretches 5,525 miles from Maine to Alaska, traversing land, sea, and untouched wilderness. You'd assume that this colossal border would be left untouched by mankind, but that's completely wrong. The entire distance of that border has a 20-foot gap that they call the slash, where they remove all the trees. And each year, about $1.4 million in the U.S. is put to deforesting that. So
why?
I'm going to show that's the natural border between the United States and Canada.
That's so crazy.
When you get there, it's a 20-foot gap.
We have to put that photo on Facebook, on the website.
Yeah, that's really cool. Like, I never knew that.
We'll put it on Facebook, too.
If you walk from Maine, because you're going to walk from Maine to Alaska, I'm sure.
Do we know who the photographer is?
The photographer is Carolyn Kuski.
Well, Ms. Kuski, we're going to make sure that we credit you if we put it on our website.
Yeah, and that's a beautiful photo. And that's something I knew we had the largest border between two nations,
between the U.S. and Canada, almost over five and a half thousand miles.
Well, the interesting thing about that is that, you know, it's like it's a big contrast to our southern proposed border where they want to build a wall. Here we are taking trees out. Yeah, have a leisurely walk.
Well, have a 500 million thousand miles leisurely walk from Vancouver all the way down to Newfoundland.
The point of it was so you know. You're at the border. You're like, oh, okay. All right. There's this 20-foot gap. No matter where I walk,
happens if you go into the 11th foot? Like,
in Canada.
I'm illegally in Canada. Can I just put my toe over the line?
My ass is leaping across. I ain't putting a toe in. Ooh, I'm going for it.
Most people would see it and be like, oh, that's Canada. I'm going to go.
I'm going to go back.
And Chris is sprinting across.
That's crazy. But, you know, it's Canada.
Hey, Canada.
So listen, I got a story for you, which will probably lead us into our angels and assholes.
Okay, what's the story? Because I want to say one more thing, too.
Okay, go ahead. Say what you got to say.
So the first British royal member came out as gay.
Family member. Ooh. Family member.
Ooh. His name is Lord... I'm going to say this wrong. I know I'm going to say it wrong. It's Lord Ivar... I think I'm saying it wrong.
Probably Ivar.
Ivar.
You never know.
But he's a cousin of the Queen. And he is the first royal member to ever come out as gay. And that's
huge. That's
welcome,
amazing.
Homo. Welcome. Yes.
So, princes, you're next in line. And then you can just give me a call. And then, remember.
Even if you got the PhD now.
If you're a lord.
I want the blue blood.
Listen, I'm not picky. Even if you're a lord, as long as you have great teeth, you call me. Because y'all Brits,
Sorry. Tommy. Yeah. I'm proud of him for coming out, but no.
Is there a picture?
Yeah. Yeah, but it's... Yeah.
But it looks like he's missing four teeth.
Oh.
Well, whistle while you work. So listen, right before we jump into angels and assholes, we do have a story which developed out of Orlando. There was a gentleman, very young gentleman. He had actually survived the shootings in Orlando.
Oh, yeah.
And it's going to be an ongoing topic for the rest of the show because, you know, we've got Tony Marrero coming up and he's going to be talking about, you know, his experience. But this particular gentleman, his name was Chris Brodman. He was 34 years old. He survived the shootings in Orlando. He actually did not receive any wounds or anything during that whole ordeal. He actually was outside smoking a cigarette and managed to escape. But he remembered all of that. So he wasn't one of the victims per se as someone who got hurt during the whole thing, maybe emotionally. But the sad thing is that 3 months after he had survived this horrible ordeal, paramedics found him unresponsive at a friend's house in the early hours of Sunday morning of last week. And Brodman died at the house near Tampa after paramedics were called. And the house, they found him in a garden. Reports say that the detectives were unable to find any evidence of any kind of violence or trauma, and the cause of death is yet to be revealed. Following an autopsy, toxicology tests are also being carried out, and we do not have the results of that at this moment. He had written on his social media that the attacks have been very traumatic. He had been outside smoking, as I said before, and that he managed to hide under a table, and he was able to escape by running across the street. After the attacks, he had wrote on Facebook, "I look back at what stands out the most for me, and it's how much support and love has been shown both here in Orlando and around the world," which is one of the things that really stuck out for him. And tragically, he lost his life 3 months after that. So may he rest in peace, and I hope that he finds peace wherever he is. And with that, I think we need to jump into angels and assholes. Sure. So, ladies and gentlemen, let me put some love music, like what's his name calls it.
Give me some love.
There's your love, baby. There's your love.
Okay, am I starting?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, the following senators from the state of Louisiana: David Vitter, Republican, and Bill Cassidy, Republican, voted no to common sense gun reform, and for their inaction, we label them
assholes. Yep. Big time assholes. And as far as our angel episode I can't even talk.
You'll get there, girl.
Yeah, eventually. We would like to dedicate this episode to none other than Tevin Eugene Crosby. He was 25 years old. Tevin was known for his inspirational messages that he would always post on Facebook to his friends. The Michigan native was the owner of a marketing firm called Total Entrepreneurs Concept. He was living in North Carolina and flew into Orlando to visit his family when, unfortunately, he was gunned down. So we would like to dedicate this episode to him, and may he rest in peace. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll leave you with Melissa Etheridge's Pulse. We'll be back. Underneath the skin, everybody's got a pulse. Once again, I hang my head to cry. I can't find a reason why they died. We will find the answer blowing in the wind. That everybody's got a pulse. I am human, I am love, and my heart beats with my blood. Love will always win. Underneath the skin, everybody's got a pulse. Who you gonna hate now? There's no one left but you. Who are you gonna gun down if you can't kill the truth? That it's inside of us, it's inside our blood, it's inside our pulse. I am human, I am love. Love will always win. Underneath the skin, everybody's got a pulse. I am human, I am love, and my heart beats in my blood. Love will always win. Underneath the skin, everybody's got a pulse. Human, I am love, and my heart beats in my blood. Love will always win. Underneath the skin, everybody's got a pulse. Everybody's got a pulse. And we're back, ladies and gentlemen, from our break. Welcome back to the show. And as promised, we have none other than Tony Marrero. Tony is the gentleman who recently was on Ellen DeGeneres, got to meet a lot of good people and one of his biggest stars. And we would like to welcome him to the show. Tony, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me, guys. Yes. How's everybody doing?
We're great. My name is Tom, and I am the host, and I have other people here in the room with me, and I'd like for them to introduce themselves to you. We'll start with...
Hey, it's Nick or Trish. So nice to hear your voice.
Really is.
Nice to meet you.
Good to be with you, Tony. It's Chris.
And usually, you know, there's four of us, but one of them is out sick today. So just three hosts today. And we have another guest in the room with us. His name is Antonio. You can say hello if you'd like.
Hello, Tony. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing good. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
So thank you so much for calling in. And, you know, again, we wanted to have you on the show because we wanted, of course, to, you know, have a little chat with you and see what you've been up to and how things are going. So tell us what's going on.
Well, it's been ups and downs, but I always focus on the positive side. has been, after the Ellen show, has been just an amazing experience. Everybody has been reaching out to me. They reached out to me before, but when I went on Ellen and Katy Perry tagged me on her Twitter, my social media just exploded. I couldn't even go inside. Like, I couldn't even like log into my social media. And, you know, the love and support that everybody's just been given to me, it's just amazing, because people are focusing on the positive side of such a big tragedy. That's what I've been trying to do since I got out of the hospital, just starting to spread the word out there.
Didn't Katy Perry offer to pay for the first year of school for film school for you?
Yes.
She is amazing.
That is amazing.
That was beautiful.
So, Nick,
like, she's the most humble person ever. I loved her.
Nick here is a really, really huge fan of Ellen DeGeneres.
Yes. So
he's really, really jealous right now.
Yeah,
he's
lighting up right now. You have no idea how jealous I am that you got to sit next to Ellen. She's my girl. When I'm at work, supposedly working, I'm actually watching her in the background. So don't tell my boss, but that's what's happening.
Yeah, he's watching. Oh my gosh. He's literally watching
Ellen,
too.
I hope you get the opportunity someday to meet her, because Ellen DeGeneres is something else.
Well,
she is.
Listen, we hope so. And Ellen, if you're listening to our show, we're huge fans. You know, we are. And but, you know, it's Ellen and we love her, but this is about you. So tell us, how has your recovery gone?
My recovery has been, like I said before, it's been up and down. You know, the pain is still there sometimes. I recently got surgery last week for my back, and it's been just tough because of the weather here in Florida. It's just a little bit bad for me, because if it's too hot, it hurts. If it's too cold, it hurts. There's no win-win on this situation.
Oh. So what would you say has been your biggest challenge since you left the hospital?
My biggest challenge has been just focusing on recovery, because I'm the most impatient person in the world. And ever since I was in the hospital, no doctor ever told me like, oh, you should be good by this date, or you looking at you, you're going to be good like in 3 months. Nobody told me anything. So I've been blinded just going through this journey. But like I said, I thank everybody that's been supporting me and following me on my recovery, because they're all part of it. And all the love just helped me so much.
It's been amazing to see. Now, you and I are friends on Facebook. And so I've seen the massive amount of like pouring of love and support for you, and people being so proud of your moment of, you know, flying out, going out to LA and seeing Ellen and all that good stuff. And it's been incredible to see. And, you know, to see your positive outlook is also something wonderful to see. So who's your support right now? Who do you rely on the most at this point?
I rely right now on my close family, my close friends, and all these people on social media, believe it or not. You know, you're always going to get those people that are not okay with what you're doing because they're just focusing on the negative, and they talk stuff and they say stuff that is a little bit insensitive. But I don't focus on that. I just keep on, you know, being the light for those people who I'm helping cope with such a horrible situation.
So, Nick, do you have a question?
Yeah, well, speaking of being the light, you keep saying that. You are starting a movement called Be the Light, correct? Hashtag Be the Light?
I am, and I'm so excited about it. And this started after I met Katy Perry. Because if you see the interview, she calls me a light.
Yes.
She's a light herself. And she says, Ellen, you're a light. So that's what people, you know, and I just, you know, I stuck with it. I was like, wow, that to me was just powerful. And I kept it. And I was like, we were talking backstage, and I was like, you are so inspiring to me. Like, and she was just lovely. And she was like, you need to continue being the light, and just don't focus on negative people. Just help people that need, you know, that little bit of light through anything that you do, you know. And that's what I'm trying to do. That's why I try to tell people, no matter what you're going through in life, no matter how difficult it is, use me as an example. Look at me, what I went through and where I am right now. You know, half of my journey, half of, you know, me recovering, I did it with no pain medication because I refused to take pain medication because,
girl, I gave it up to
some of those pills. No, some of those pills, you know, they're very addictive. And I was like, nope, I'm not going to do this. And that's when another hashtag was born. People gave me the hashtag Tony Strong. Mm-hmm. That's where that came from, too.
That's amazing.
Yeah, that is.
Well, it's got to be, because let me tell you, I don't know how I've had surgery before. I mean, I've had a couple of, like, you know, in and out surgeries, and I'm like, give me drugs.
I'm clicking the button on that pretty thing. Much. You're acting to me. It's like they say every 7 minutes, but I'm holding that button down. So good for you. I commend that.
That's amazing. Seriously, it's something that it's bravo. We applaud you, because it's not an easy thing to be able to go through what you did, and, you know, the trauma that your body received, and not have any type of medication to circumvent that pain.
Yeah. So, I mean, you had emotional pain and you had physical pain, and the fact that you moved through it, for lack of a better term, soberly is amazing. It is strong. It's crazy.
Very strong.
Well, like
it was. I just want to tell everybody, you know, they have the power to be the light mm-hmm. in any situation. They have the power to, if you see somebody struggling, just help, you know, each other out. That's what this world, this community needs to focus on. I keep on saying we don't have to wait for a tragedy to hit for us to be united.
Absolutely.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
So that's what I want people to take out of this.
So let me ask you, so hashtag be the light. Where can people go to find information on this movement that you're starting and that you're working on, so that they can become a part of that movement? Or is it just something that you just say, hey, you can do this on your own?
I just, everybody has been following me on social media. You can find me on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and that's how they keep in track with everything that I'm doing. There's a lot of projects coming. There's a lot of good things that I'm planning on doing, you know, for the community. And I want people to get involved. I want people to really be that person and feel proud of themselves for doing something so sweet and so nice for one another.
That's amazing. When, you know, do me a favor and give many thanks to Chris, because Chris has been very instrumental. Chris is actually his PR person. He was very instrumental in getting the message across of what we needed and what you needed and what, you know, we were going to be discussing today. So if there's anything that you guys need as far as, like, maybe using some website space on our end to promote any initiatives that you're doing, just let us know. Have Chris reach
Thank
out to
so
us.
Thank you so much.
You know, because it's great what you're doing. It's, you know, it's very admirable, because, like I said, going through what you went and through what all the other victims went through and coming out of it with a positive outlook is just such a beautiful thing to see. And I want you to know that we are with you and all the victims.
100%.
Exactly. 100% yeah. on
Thank
the show.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for all the love. I really appreciate it.
And it, you know, just to piggyback on you being so strong, you know, it takes a really strong person to take something so intense and negative and damaging and really turn it into something so positive, which you're doing. And we can't, I mean, the community can't thank you enough. You're taking this and you're moving in the right direction with it, is what, and we need that to happen, especially with, you know, everything that happened. So
yes, thank I agree. You.
So can I ask, with this movement, do you have mm-hmm. any of the other victims on the show that maybe are helping you with this movement? Are you close with any of the other victims?
I am starting to get in touch with a couple of survivors, because I want us to get together as a group, because we've all been connected, you know, through this tragedy. We're all going to be connected for life. Mm-hmm. So my very best friend is Angel Colon. He is also a survivor. We met actually on my True Life episode that aired on MTV. I had to meet him because we were that night so close to each other. And I had to meet him, and he's been a blessing in my life. We help each other out. We always text each other, how are you feeling? How are you feeling today? How's it going? And that's what everybody needs to do. Come together, you know, hold on to each other. That's how everybody's going to come up on this horrible tragedy. They're going to come up. That's how they're going to just succeed and take advantage of, you know, the light. That's what it is.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
So you were saying, well, actually, I brought it up earlier, Katy Perry paying for your first year of film school. What's your next step? What's your future plan with film school? Like, why are you into film? Where did that come from?
Well, I've always been interested. I've always, before the tragedy, I used to, you know, do my little videos, like parodies and, you know, just like little clips of me either dancing or just having a good time to cheer people up, you know, in my social media.
Right.
So I've always been good at editing video, and that has always been a passion that I have, like a hobby. But, you know, working two jobs and doing so many things before the tragedy, I didn't have really enough time to just focus on that. But now, you know, like I'm telling you, out of a negative comes a positive. And this is, you know, this of Katie just paying for my first year of film school was a blessing to me. And I'm always going to be thankful for that for the rest of my life.
When I was watching, because obviously I watch Ellen constantly, but when I was watching your interview, I was just like, I started crying because of the interaction that you all had and the way she did say, you are a light, and then Ellen, you are a light. But like, and then she just like, it was like she was giving herself to you, and it was just so beautiful. And then you were emotional, and then I got emotional.
I think we all got emotional. I was watching the video at my desk at work.
Being like the audience was, let's say it, the audience was a mess. They were all crying. The production, when we finished, the production backstage was, you know, they were crying. Everybody was crying. The only one that didn't cry and it was holding it throughout the whole episode was Ellen. And you could tell in the interview. Every time I used to talk to her, she would like hold the tears back.
Oh, she, but she it was holding such, them. Yeah.
Did she cry backstage? It was such an
Yes, she did. It was so touching, you know. It was so touching. And I spent a good 45 minutes backstage with Katie, and her words, you know, were so beautiful. She's just amazing. And Ellen, her whole production, just the way that they treated me was so beautiful. And I can't thank them enough.
I can't imagine.
So with, you know, talking about the community really needing to be together and help one another, are there any organizations that you'd like to credit with helping you? Anyone that you really want to put their name out there that stood up to push your story out there?
I really don't have like names of organization, but I just want to say thank you to all the survivors for being so supportive of me. The Victim Center, the Orlando Victim Center, they have been helping me through everything. You know, and everybody, you know, as a whole that donated to the one fund for every, you know, victim of this tragedy is just thank you, a big thank you, because, you know, we did not ask for this, but is a tremendous help for everybody that's going through what we're going through.
And they stood up there to stand with you guys and help you out. And we talked in past episodes about the hospital in Orlando waiving the out-of-pocket fees.
Yes.
How that must have been an incredible relief to hear that, you know, that they're standing up and whatever insurance isn't going to cover, they're not going to burden you anymore. You guys have went through enough, and that must have been an incredible feeling.
It was amazing to hear that, because like I believe that I was not the only one thinking this way, but you know, the donations that they're going to give us, you know, half of that would have gone to the bills, the hospital bills, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So it was just amazing. You know, all the doctors were amazing. Everybody that helped out, it was amazing. I got a couple of nurses from the hospital on Facebook because they love me and I love them. You know, the love was there all the time. The love was there from day one. And that's what kept this going forward. And that's what's going to continue making this going forward.
And your parents, I'm sure they're absolutely ecstatic, you know.
Yes.
Of how things have worked out for you. And does your mom live on the island, or is she in Orlando as well?
I'm actually by myself in Orlando.
Okay.
My mom lives in Alabama and my dad lives in Puerto Rico.
Oh, that's Alabama, out of all places. Now, your mother's Puerto Rican too, right?
Yeah, I know.
What is a Puerto Rican doing in Alabama?
Yes, what is a Puerto Rican?
I went to visit her once and I never went back.
Because I am a brother in spirit and heart and country. You know, I'm originally, my parents are originally from Puerto Rico as well. So I know the feeling. Mom is here now with us, but she spent 22 years on that island. So, you know, it's an amazing, beautiful little island. Great place to be from.
And she can cook really well.
Yes.
Hence why I've gained so much weight since the podcast started.
So listen, Tony, we don't want to take much of your time, but we are truly, truly appreciative that you took the time to call us. And is there anything that you would like to say to our listeners?
I just want to say thank you. I can't thank them enough. Just thank you. And if they want to be involved with the Be the Light movement, just follow me on social media. Find me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, anywhere. I'll be right there. And there's a lot of things coming. There's a lot of positive things coming, a lot of plans coming. And it's just to help the community. Nothing goes to myself. Everything goes to the community.
That's amazing. So listen, we can hook you up with a page on our website with all your social media links. And, you know, just keep us posted on what you're doing anything that we could help you out with.
I can't wait to see first film. You know, Katy Perry is going to star in it, right?
Thank you so much, guys.
Hey, thank you so much for calling in. Thank you.
Keep spreading your light.
I will.
All right.
Bye. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And ladies and gentlemen, that was Tony Marrero. What a wonderful guy.
Yeah, that was awesome.
That was amazing. That's such an amazing interview. I'm really loving where he's going with his life and what he's doing with himself.
And he calls Katy Perry so humble. He seems so humble.
Well, believe it or not, he's my countryman. Él es puertorriqueño, me.
Boricua power.
We tend to be very, very humble people, and it just reflects in his personality. So
the stakes are evened out tonight for us, Trish.
Yes, two Puerto Ricans, two gringos with bingos over here. Absolutely. Right. Trish got a new Apple Watch, so you know she's all up in it. She's all up in it like Bennett, but that's all right.
Well, Tommy just showed me how to make it so that I can actually read it when I zoom in. Because accidentally I zoom in and then I'm like, oh, I got to restart it because I can't figure out how to zoom out. He's like, just double tap it with two fingers. I was like,
just put two fingers in it like most people do inside a butthole.
Usually that works.
That's it.
Yeah.
But anyway.
One.
Again.
You mean you guys only do two?
Yeah, well,
all right.
You know what? Three sometimes.
You is greedy, girl. Greedy, 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 greedy. I
can't. You is greedy.
You is greedy.
You is greedy.
No, she better don't.
I show did. So listen. So you know, that was wonderful.
Yeah, that was really so wonderful. Nice. Wonderful.
Yeah. Inspiring, very inspiring.
So and of course we also have someone else in the studio with us. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to officially welcome you. Luis Antonio, ladies and gentlemen, is the creator of Escapade, which is an unusual experience, and he is here today in the studio with us to tell us about Escapade. Welcome.
Hello, boys.
Hello.
Yes, queen.
So I have to tell you, I've known Louis now for quite some time. And,
it's been a while. Yes, definitely.
Yeah, it's been, I would probably say about 10 years, almost definitely. A decade. Mm-hmm. And you have always been doing what you do. You dance, you are very artistic, you're very expressive, and you you're really passionate about what you do. What drives you?
Just escaping from my reality of my own drama. And I feel like dance is a way of me escaping. And
speaking to the mic, darling.
Sorry.
Just treat it like the dick that's in front of you. Just
so I feel like dance is the way of me escaping from my reality and really expressing myself and forgetting about what I really
all the trials and all the shit that goes in life.
All the trials and all the shit that goes in life. And
silence is deafening.
Yeah, I'm thinking about it because it's really hard to describe what why I do what I do.
And
it's the journey for me. You know, it's people always go, "Well, why do you do what you do?" I'm like, because I love it. I really do love it. And what makes me really do it is seeing the audience reaction when I'm finished performing.
So obviously, you don't only just do dance; you do interpretive arts and all that good stuff. What is your favorite part of doing what it is that you do?
Performing, and seeing the reaction of the audience, and being able to have someone cry and have someone smile, and being on that stage and seeing their reaction while you perform.
So we recently had Gay Pride in New Haven. You did a performance in City Hall.
Yes.
Inside
second
City
time.
Hall.
We did it last year too, and this year. Yeah.
I actually got a chance to see the video. Very impressive. And how was that?
It was interesting because performing in front of, my gay community is different from performing in a different community,
like in the arts.
Because I know I know everyone pretty much. I know all the faces, and it's really interesting to see their reaction of what we're doing, and to see how calm and how focused they are while we perform on stage or at City Hall. It's just they're because each of them, at least I know everyone is watching me, and I know how they could be, and I know how judgmental, gay community could be. But to have that moment where they just calm down and they're really in the moment is special to me.
No,
and,
yeah.
Yeah, and I could see them trying to figure out what the fuck I'm doing. Because well, I mean, do some weird shit.
But, well, it's but, a lot of what you do is it's lyrical dance. It's you're taking movement and you're expressing your emotions. It's not what you would consider a jazz type number or a tap
that's
number.
Something
it's,
where you could go, oh, they're dancing to a piece about love. Oh, they're dancing to. It's something where you like.
So it's interpretive. Like,
yeah, it's interpretive and. The thing is, like, yeah, we have an idea behind it, but at the end of the day, we want people to create their own idea.
Right.
And people always ask me, oh, so what was the idea behind this? And just to, like, give you, like, a backstory of what we did. So the backstory, so the company is Elm City Dance Collective, which is a side job, side company that I work with here in New Haven. I run it with two girls, Kelly and Lindsay Bauer. And I was a dance company, contemporary dance company. And the backstory to this, we're looking at the age between 16 and 21. So the piece is called If You Knew You Then. So if you knew yourself back when you were in high school, when you were in college, your early years, and you're looking back at that, at those times. So, that's what we're going back into. So we're like experimenting, playing like improvisation games. So what people saw at City Hall was us playing those games live. And improvising.
Right.
But since we know our bodies so well, you know, we'll be able to lift each other and create movement and dance in the moment.
So, yeah. So if I'm understanding this correctly, what you're saying is you have individuals that are representing a portion of their life between the ages of 18 to 21.
16 and 21.
Yes, excuse me. And you are allowing them to interpret or display for the crowd what it is, the emotion that they're feeling through dance.
Correct.
Between the ages of 16 all the way through 21. Now, is this something that's progressive or do they do it? Do it's they decide that they want to go through the journey from 16 to 17 to 20? Or do they just do it whenever they feel? Like, I feel 21 at this very moment, so I'm going to do 21.
So the way we've been creating work...
Does that make sense?
Yes, yeah, it does totally. Make sense. Yes, definitely. And the way we've been creating work is that we have brought pictures. And we look at the pictures and we pick three pictures of those of the bunch. And then we talked about what happened in that moment. What was going on? So, for example, like one of my pictures was homecoming, and I'm posting there with this girl, and there's like two girls behind me, like, you know, grinding, two boys, you know, think grinding with two other girls. And we try to recreate that situation and find out backstory of what was happening, what was going through our mind. And then
were you out at that point in time?
I wasn't.
So, does that have a lot to do with how that performance ended up?
The whole experience is really different because right now I'm an out, open gay man. And back when I was in high school and my early, you know, teens, you know, my late teens, early 20s, I was still trying to figure out who I am as a person. You know, if, am I gay? Am I not gay? So looking back at that time, it brings back all these different emotions where I'm like, who was I back then? I'm like, I wish I was this person back then. So the piece title, If You Knew You Then, I wish I knew who I was.
Oh, honey.
Yeah.
But if you knew who you were then,
yeah,
then you would be a completely different person today. If I was doing the dance piece from 16 to 21, what I would be doing is running around kicking myself in the ass. Get off stage, bitch.
If I was doing the dance piece between 16 to 21, I'd probably be on my knees with knee pads.
That's the whole, that's your entire 16 to 21, pretty much. So she's going to have
whenever we figured out how old he is now.
So tell me something. So you have Escapade and Unusual Experience coming up.
Yep.
Tell us about the show.
Which actually, I love that we're talking about why they did it at City Hall because Escapade, so this is the fourth time we're bringing it back to Lyric Hall Theater. And
congratulations.
Thank you.
Which is a great space, by the way. It's so much fun.
An amazing space. And I'm going big this time. First time around, I did two shows. Second time, three. Third time, four. This time, I'm doing 9 shows, which is like... I'm going double, and
that's a lot of
I'm
shows.
Excited.
Is it all in 1 week or
in 2 weekends?
2 weeks, yeah.
Great.
Two weekends. So it opens up September 30th through October 9th. There's two shows in a couple days. We're doing double shows. So it's funny that we're going back to City Hall because this time around I'm putting my own story into the show, which I came out when I was 18. to my father.
And you were telling me this earlier.
Yeah, and I was kind of pushed out to come out.
When you say pushed out, somebody forced you or?
My father did.
He did?
Yes.
So, okay, so how does your father?
I don't mind talking about it. So we could,
I'm curious because how does, my father couldn't force me to do anything other than just look at me and be like, that. Yeah, exactly. But how does your father force you to come out?
So how it happens, so I'm going to go back to this. I'll go quickly. You know, I'm 18. I'm working. I have my own job. I could get my own phone. So I decided to go on my own, live the family plan. And my father gets my old phone.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, so, about the fucking phone.
Oh, that old phone.
Happened to me too, honey.
So my father gets my old phone with my old number. Somebody calls my old number and tells my father that I'm gay.
That's fucked up.
They outed you.
No, yeah, she better. Yeah. Don't.
Oh, it gets better. That they have fucked me. Yep.
Ooh.
This
is getting interesting.
I have done drag as Shakira.
Did you?
I did.
And you probably did a really good job.
My hips don't lie. So, and they just told my father all these things that I never told my family. I remember my mother telling me, hey, your father has something to tell you. And I'm like,
oh, shit. Oh, shit.
What are you talking about? And he's like, well, something with your phone. In my head, I'm thinking, fuck. I'm like, somebody must have called my phone.
Either that or you left dirty pictures on it.
That's what I thought it was. I'm I saw your dick.
I was just like, somebody must have called my phone and said something to my father. So I'm getting ready for, you know, to go to work. And my father comes up to my room and he's like, Luis, can I talk to you? I'm like, yeah. I'm like, yeah. What's up? And he's like, oh, so somebody called the phone and told me that you did this, you did that.
Shakira!
You know, yeah, pretty much Shakira, you know, gay, you know, everything just came out. And I was like, Dad, I'm like, I think it's just one of my friends playing a joke. I still tried to deny it. And I was like, no. I'm like, no.
Did it work?
No.
No, absolutely not. So of course not.
Then my father is like, well, you know.
Daddies aren't stupid.
I'm like, you should really tell me because I have to get ready for your consequences.
Consequences?
Wait, what time of what?
And I'm like, wait.
What consequences? What is he going to do? Take away the phone you already gave back to him?
Yeah, you know, where I was just like, no. I'm like, well, you know what, Dad? You know what? Yes, I am gay. And then he goes, well, last time I checked, I only had $2, not $3. And I was like, well, last time I checked, I still have a cock and a pussy.
Hello.
Oh, yes, girl.
That's true. And okay, so if you guys need a little bit of background on what it's like to come out to a Hispanic male, very machista, very machismo. There's a lot of machismo in our culture. And when I came out to my father, he chased me down the street with a knife. Mm. And said he would cut my dick off.
I'm surprised you didn't turn around and go right back at him.
Yeah, exactly.
I wasn't the strong person that I am today back then.
Yeah, because the thing is that you still have respect for, you know, your elders.
It's crazy.
And that's something you're, you know, Puerto Rican Latinos, you know, culture, you're raised with that.
Well, I mean, like I grew up in Italian culture and it's the same thing. But it's very, very similar.
You don't understand.
I mean, like, no, Italian Catholic.
I can tell you, listen.
I see my mother, don't knife at my brothers, literally.
I can tell you stories.
Need to have a conversation with your mother.
We need to bring her on the show and have her sit down and talk to Gay Talk.
My mom passed away 2 years ago, unfortunately.
Oh,
yeah,
I am so sorry.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's okay.
Way to shock the
sorry,
the
guys.
So you have a tattoo.
I have a tattoo, yes.
Uh-huh. And that represents
that
mom.
That is beautiful. Yeah. Uh-huh.
So that's an elephant with a baby elephant.
Yeah,
elephants never
mother,
forget.
You know, as you know, Puerto Rican cultures, elephants bring good luck to families and brings money.
It brings money and luck.
Yeah, so my mother collected the figurines, and I always got them for her every holiday, every Christmas.
Did you take the collection with you?
Actually, my sister has them. I have my own collection now.
Okay. Awesome. Yeah. So what is that little... this little reading here says.
It says, hey, mom, love you. And it's two elephants, baby, you know, a mom and a baby elephant.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Uh-huh.
It's beautiful because elephants are the only other mammals other than human beings that actually mourn the dead. They mourn the dead.
They do. Yeah.
When one of their group will
you know, perish, unfortunately, they'll parade around that spot even when the elephant is long taken away or removed.
They have like a ritual.
Yeah, they have a ritual. Mm-hmm. And it's really amazing. They always say elephants never forget. But
I love the Discovery Channel.
It's a great thing. It's a great thing, but it's yeah. I think that's absolutely beautiful. Yeah,
that's amazing, and I'm sorry that you lost your mother. Yeah,
she's still here with me, and
of course,
that's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, thank you.
What was? Is it okay if I ask what was her name?
Inés Padilla.
Well, yeah. Miss Padilla. Yeah. May you rest in peace.
Yeah, thank you.
May you rest. We have your son here. He's safe with us. We love having him on. He's a very, very creative individual, and you've done very, very, very well. So you rest easy, girl, because he's doing a fabulous job.
Mm-hmm. I have a funny story about passing. Okay. Since we're talking about it anyway. So when I was in college, I lost my boyfriend. I don't know if I've actually mentioned this on the show.
I don't think you've ever have.
So yeah, no. That,
you
so
mentioned about the shit leaf on your door, but you never mentioned about a passing.
Football and poop on leaves.
So that happened. The end of my sophomore year, he passed away. And the week leading up to the funeral and all that stuff, I mean, like, you know, you're just walking through a haze. You have no idea what's going on. But he passed away with his camera because we didn't have, you know, iPhones back then that we could take photos with. He had a camera.
Were they digital?
Yeah.
Well, at least they were digital.
I know.
Cameras.
So he passed away
probably
with his
had like 512 megabytes.
Not iPhone. With his camera in his pocket. And so the day of his funeral, I show up to the house and like the coroner's brought all the stuff back that were in his pockets and whatnot. And so I'm going through the bag and I pull out the camera and I'm going through the camera and I'm like one picture, two picture. And then like leading up to a night that I remember very clearly, I'd been away and we got together after like not seeing each other for a couple of weeks. And we got a hotel room because we were young. We were staying at our parents' place. And there I am, sprawled out naked with these fucking beautiful sunglasses he bought me, smoking a cigarette, drinking a glass of wine underage with my dick just hanging out. Yes. And I just look straight at his parents and I'm like... And they were like, yeah, no, we saw. And I was like, oh, God. So, of course, I just took the camera and I was like, I'm going to take this for a little bit.
For a little bit. I would have taken that camera and held it as a relic. That's a beautiful memory. Though.
Oh, my God, I'll never forget it. I was just like sitting at the kitchen table and they were in the kitchen. And I'm like, and literally, like, my neck just snapped. They're just like shaking their heads. Yeah. Like, I think they were waiting for me to hit that photo.
No, we know what one you're looking at.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Ready. We saw it.
Oh, my God. I almost peed my pants. Oh,
I actually really have
to
pee.
That's a good story.
Listen. We should definitely plug the show because, you know, Escapade and Unusual Experience is going to be playing at Lyric Hall, which is located in New Haven. If you guys want to purchase tickets, you can go to lyrichallnewhaven.com. Tickets are $25.
Correct.
$25 a piece. We have right now, as I'm seeing on my list here, we have 5 shows. One on Friday, September 30th.
9 shows.
9?
Yeah. Because Friday and Saturday are 2 shows, and Sunday there's 2 shows each.
Okay. So, yes, well, what I have listed here, then it's not probably clear.
But there's
so
5
what,
dates, but 9 shows. Correct.
Okay. Yeah. So, why don't you go to lyrichallnewhaven.com and take a look at all the shows that are available. Make sure that, you know, you... look into it. It's a great show. I plan to go because, of course, I'd love to support our local artists.
Thank you.
Like I said,
of course,
I've seen some of your work, so it's fantastic, and I know that it's going to be a great time.
You've seen it, right?
Yeah. Oh, my God. I loved the show when I went and saw it.
So last year's show actually was featured on the news because you guys did a press conference before that.
Style, correct.
And are you guys doing Connecticut Style this time around?
We're doing like a press release. We actually have a press release showing on the Thursday before the show opens.
And oh, fantastic.
Well, the press comes and, you know, they interview us. It's really official and legit and pretty cool. I'm looking forward to, you know, bringing it back. It's a different show with new performers, new cast, new storyline into it. And yeah.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, listen, thank you so much for taking the time out of your day to come here and talk about, you know, Escapade, the Unusual Experience. Yeah.
Thank you
and
for having me. Yeah.
To our listeners, if you are in the New Haven, Hartford, New York, any areas close.
Everywhere.
Anywhere. Yeah. And you want to come down and take a look at those shows, make sure that you visit lyrichallnewhaven.com. And get those tickets.
The show was really a blast. When I went last time, it was like, well, one, it was full. And so the energy in the room was amazing. But the individual acts were so unique and so different and so special. I can't wait to see what you guys have in store for us around. So it's going to be great.
Well, it's very androgynous. You have a little bit of drag queens, you have a little bit of singers, you have a little bit of
drag queens, live singing, live dancing. So, new projection that's going to be put into the work.
That's awesome.
Visual artists that show work during the pre-show. Robin Banks going to be doing that.
Excellent.
Pre-show.
Robin's going to be in there.
Yeah, Robin's going to be actually part of different shows.
Street going to be doing Sean O'Reilly. There's a bunch of artists doing the pre-show. So it's a whole new show featuring new artists and new work. And I'm very happy and psyched about it.
Very excited. Awesome. This is going to be my first one, but I'm definitely going this year.
And you know what Chris says all the time? It's what we really love doing on our show is engaging our local community.
Absolutely.
And what you do with your show is really engage the entire local community and try to incorporate as many people as you can, as many people that want to be involved. And that's what's so special about what you do.
That's definitely one of my goals is to involve everyone, and not only, you know, a certain, you know, type or a certain person. It's just like to involve drag, art, live music, live everything, and really make it work. And not only my gay community, but also the bi community, the trans community is really important for me as myself, as a person, to involve everyone. And
That's a wonderful endeavor to really have. So listen, we need to put a rubber on this episode because we're going long. Do you guys have anything else you need to cover before we close up?
I got one more. I feel like we really have to throw out there because it's something I believe the news passed yesterday, and it's really a cornerstone in the gay community across the nation. Everyone knows about North Carolina, the HB2 bill.
Yep.
When the federal government threatened to cut funding from the state of North Carolina, the North Carolina governor, being as weak as he is, was like, I need to buy time. So he sued the federal government.
Right.
He's
out the door, by the way.
He's dropped the lawsuit.
Well, he has to. He's going to lose that election.
Well, yeah, he dropped the lawsuit. But even with the election aside, he dropped the lawsuit, and he says that he blames the reason he dropped it was costs and countersuits are the reason for dropping that lawsuit. Bitch, that's because everyone and their fucking mother pulled their shit out of North Carolina.
Of course.
All of these different NBA, NCAA, Bruce Springsteen. And when we talked with Melissa Etheridge, we had Melissa call the show. Right, and a great point Melissa Etheridge made, and Melissa was supposed to be performing there, but she did pull out, didn't she?
No, she performed. She performed.
Right, and Nick or Trish actually made the good point that the straight performers need to leave the state of North Carolina, boycott that state, and the gay performers ones who need to go in and stand their grounds. That is your battlefield, and North Carolina realized they're losing that battle.
Of course. And I remember Melissa explicitly saying yes, queen. I remember her saying explicitly that she went into that state because she wanted to the gay community and the people that went to see her that she was there, and she wasn't going to pull out because she did more good showing up and doing her show than she would have had she pulled out.
By her leaving, it'd be hurting the gay community.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Right. So I think that's a beautiful thing. What you said, Nick, was one of my favorite things you've ever said on the show, and that was absolutely brilliant. And
besides, you don't even go here. She had me cracking up for months after that.
So North Carolina, hopefully you'll be going on the right track. Go ahead and put that rubber back
on. We'd like to welcome you in our
group. We put it on
fold.
The wrong way the first time. You know when you have to flip the condom around?
Yeah.
No, that's just your struggle, Chris.
That was a hiccup.
That's my struggle.
And your new gym shorts, yes.
We do have one other thing that we should cover, but we probably don't have time to cover it. So I'm just going to give him a shout out real quick.
Ah, yes.
Richard, we did get an email and a question from you.
We did.
And we had a really packed show today, but we will address your question next week. It's multi-layered. And we've been thinking about it. So we'll get back to you with hopefully what I hope is an educated answer next week.
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely a lot packed in that question. And to our listener, Richard, who took the time to send us that email, we promise you that next week we're going to touch base with you. By the way, next week we have Christine W., who's going to be joining the show.
Yes, queen.
Yes.
Amazing. And you guys should know who she is. And if you don't, she is one of the quintessential artists that shaped the club life. When I think about all my club dancing, 90s, 2000s, and even like a little earlier than that, I could never think of 1 year that went by where I did not hear a Christine W. song played in a club that made me move. She moved me for almost 2.5 decades. So we're going to have her on the show. It's going to be super fun. We talked to her earlier today. What a beautiful soul. So thank you. Yes, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You know, Christine, for agreeing to come on the show with us. We're going to see you next week. And we need to wrap up the show.
We sure do.
So, ladies and gentlemen, I want to take the opportunity to thank our subscribers. If you guys need to, you know, send us any questions or any thoughts or concerns or suggestions, you can visit our website. That's www.gaytalk20.com.
We got it right behind me.
Go all the way to the contact page, and you'll have a very, very big selection of what it is that you can send us and let us know. And if you need to send us an email, you can do that, you know, via email as well. I'll have Nick
at gaytalk2.0@gmail.com.
Yes, queen. And I want to thank our special guest, Luis Antonio, who
thank
joined
you
us
for
today.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you for being here.
I also want to take the opportunity to thank Tony Morero for calling in and speaking with us. It was a pleasure having you on the show. And guys, anything else?
I think that's about it.
Well, with that, guys, I want to thank you for tuning in, and that is our show.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Gay Talk 2.0. Tune in next time for more Dish.